Jack was quite happy with his life. Things were ticking along quite well. And then Jack met Grace. And wow, Grace, he totally fell in love with. And he was just constantly thinking of Grace and wanting to be with Grace. And it just got to a point where you knew that wherever Jack was, there was Grace. It was just hand in hand and everything was great. And that was brilliant for weeks, for months. And then it started creeping into years. And everything was kind of okay, but there was just something about their relationship that just seemed to stop or slow down. And while Jack was very keen and happy to be with Grace, there was just a lack of something. Until one day, Grace decided to challenge Jack. And Grace asked Jack, could you define our relationship? Define our relationship? What do you mean, define our relationship? We're together, aren't we? Isn't that enough? We're together. Is that enough? You see, Jack wasn't ready for that extra bit of commitment. For him, he felt that just being together, surely that's enough. I wonder how many Jacks there are around the world. Because Grace, in this analogy, is the church. And I wonder how many Jacks there are that are just happy to tick along in their relationship with church. I turn up. Isn't that enough? But is there an element of commitment that is missing? I wonder if it is possible for us to have a place in our lives for church, but we don't have a place in our heart for church. I want you to think about relationships. Relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with family members, with others in this room, with your friends. And as you think about relationships, and we can have lots of kinds of relationships, there is often one thing that is linked with all those different types of relationships. What do we do then when our relationship somehow, some way, just starts to seem to become meaningless? We just kind of go through the motions. It seems as though our relationship lacks direction. We can maybe have a physical and romantic relationship, and that is ongoing, but even with that, there is something missing. What is that something that's missing? My suggestion to you that maybe sometimes in our relationships, things just dry up because of our lack of commitment to each other. And just like that can be the case in our relationships with each other, that can be the situation with our relationships with each other as far as church is concerned. Our series is based on a little book of the title, or Stop Dating the Church. And that's my repetition of appeal. Stop dating the church. stop dating the church. If we were to take our Bibles, maybe this is your homework for this afternoon or for this evening after we enjoy a little bit of social time together. Our scripture reading was from Ephesians. We're not going to work our way through that. So I did say about taking your Bibles, but if you take your Bibles later on, read through the whole of that letter. I mean, how many of us get an email, not many of us write letters nowadays. I was visiting with someone, an elderly lady. Maybe it shows the sort of times and ages, but I know that I helped her get online and do Skype with her daughter in another country. I know this is sort of a little bit technical, but she showed me that she was writing this letter. And here we have this letter to the people in Ephesus. We call it Ephesians. Why don't you read these letters as they were meant to be read? We tend to kind of dip in and out. But your homework then is to read Ephesians. And I want to challenge you that as you read Ephesians, I'm going to give you a bit of a clue, because I believe that as you read Ephesians, you'll discover and realize that church is God's idea. And if we want to spell that slightly differently too, it works as well. Church is God's ideal. Our local church is the key to our spiritual health and growth as a Christian. But is it good enough just to have that kind of level of relationship where we think that it's good enough just to turn up? I'm here, aren't I? Isn't that good enough? You see, God calls this fellowship of believers, this body of Christ. And if we are part of the body of Christ, it's not good enough just to turn up, just to be here. I heard someone in a Sabbath school this morning talking about people being pew warmers. I like the analogy. You know, we could get hot water bottles and warm the seats if that's all that was needed. In fact, this person was suggesting that probably like an irrigation system, it could all be automated too. So the seats will automatically, as the boiler comes on, the seats get warmed up too. But is it seat warming that we need? Is it good enough just to turn up? If a fellowship of believers, if God, Jesus, is calling us this body of Christ, is there something more that we need to tap into? Is there something that we're missing out on? Stop dating the church. I'm going to suggest to you two aspects of a profile of a church dater. And I wonder if you can recognize this, not in other people, but in yourself. A church dater, a profile of a church dater will include, I'm going to suggest, someone who is me-centered. This is someone who walks away from church and says, oh, you know what, I didn't get anything out of church this week. And maybe complains about the musician who played very well, or the preacher who tries his best, or the way that other people behaved. A church dater, the profile of a church dater, is someone who is me-centered. What does the church do for me? Well, we come to church in order to lift each other up, to encourage each other, and to offer our worship and praise to God. I found myself directed to Revelation 4 and 5, and I know our adult Sabbath school class is going through into Revelation at the moment, so stick with that, adults and teach this to your kids as well, as you're reading at home and preparing yourself. Share it with your family. But in Revelation 4 and 5, we have this heavenly throne scene. And it's a fascinating scene. There's another bit of homework for you. You know, read, if you don't want to read a whole book of or letter to the Ephesians, then try Revelation 4 and 5. This throne room scene, it is amazing. And we get this at first, this group of worshippers and so on. They're called different names and so on, but and these angelic beings and these elders and whatever, and some of it's very pictorial. But we get this repetition of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then later on, in the next chapter, and that was, I think, in chapter 4, and then in chapter 5, that this song changes, but it's all about worship of God. At no point do we get a little extra bit that says, and they left the place of worship and complained that they didn't really get anything out of worship that week. Let me tell you, worship isn't about you. Worship is about God. So when we come to worship, it's about our expression to God. So if we didn't get anything out of worship, maybe we haven't expressed to God our thanks and our praise. So a profile of a church dater is someone who is me-centered. Very closely linked profile of a church dater is someone who feels independent. They attend church because, well, that's what Christians are supposed to do, aren't they? Christians attend church, unless I can't be bothered that week, and then I have a church service of my own. But church daters who just attend church don't see the need for getting involved. I'll dip in, I'll dip out. Independent in their worship. Church daters who are independent have little attention to God's larger purpose for church. And their vital specific contribution that they could be giving to church. Remember what I suggested? As you read through the book of Ephesians, church is God's idea, even God's ideal. So why do we approach it as a me thing? And church is actually an opportunity to help others and to worship God. We each have a role to play as part of this body of Christ. But stop dating the church. We can have this independent, critical mindset. I mean, it's very easy to be critical, isn't it? Especially when you're not committed to something. Because, well, I have the flexibility and it's not about me because I can point my finger at someone else. Because of my lack of allegiance to something, I'm going to be critical until I can't be critical anymore. Don't be critical. Don't be independent. Stop dating the church. Change your dating to a commitment to each other and to God in worship. Independent daters of the church, feel free to drift around a little bit, looking for the right product that they can consume. Because for them, church is about me. We end up being like a lover with a wandering eye. We're happy to be together for now. We're happy to be together, but always looking around on the shelves to see if there's something else better. Stop dating the church. God has something better in mind for each one of us, beyond us dating church. God is looking for a commitment from each one of us to come rushing to church, to eagerly look for the opportunity of sharing our encouragement to others. What we think is gain by not getting involved is actually our loss, and a loss to other people too. So stop dating the church. When we date the church, we lack a passion and we lack a commitment. And that lack of passion and commitment plays itself out in the way that we cheat people. First of all, we cheat ourselves. If we don't commit, there is a benefit that we miss out on. I've said this before, that the times when I've shared the most are the times when I've grown the most. It's a spiritual equation that I can't work out, but it works. And I invite you to try that out. The times when I've shared the most are the times when I've grown the most. So stop cheating yourself. We also cheat our church community because they miss out on the benefit that we have to bring. We're not all the same. You've heard recently in the last couple of weeks about spiritual gifts and so on. We're all made differently. God is asking each of us to contribute differently. Not just turn up. So we cheat ourselves, we cheat our church community, and we can also cheat the world and those other people around us when we just date the church, when we think it's just good enough just to turn up. Every human being needs to hear of the potential of eternal life. Every human being needs to hear of the eternal love of God. But they won't if we think that being a Christian, all we need to do is turn up. Isn't that good enough? At the end of Ephesians, you take on your homework seriously. At the end of Ephesians, we get this sequence that Paul says that there is life and then there is death, and then we have to give an account for ourselves. How are we going to feel when we stand before God? When God says to us, "So what was your commitment? How did you commit to me in committing to a church family?" "Well, God, we were together. I turned up. Isn't that enough?" You know, God is in the saving business. God loves us so much that he came to this earth to deal with the sin problem. That through his free gift, not through our working, through his free gift, we have that opportunity of an eternal life, a life with God and the way that God intended for us to experience. And it's not good enough just to turn up. Stop dating the church. So if it's God's idea for believers to congregate together, believers to come and worship together, to give praise to God together, if it's God's idea that through this fellowship of believers, this body of Christ, this is the vehicle through which God will reach the world. It's not good enough just to come and turn up and warm the seats. There's more to it than that. So stop dating the church. The church is God's vehicle through sharing the good news of Jesus to the rest of the world. Church matters because Jesus chose it to be his messenger to the world. Jesus is the world's only hope. It's not Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars, where Princess Leia, through a little video hologram thing, says, "Help me, Ben, you're my only hope." Jesus is the world's only hope. And life is more than just our job, our spouse, our kids. Even if we do have a big, high-powered job, even if we do have an attractive spouse, even if we do have good kids, life is not just about that. Life is about something else. The stuff that we can't take with us to heaven, that's what life is about. And God invites us to be part of this immense, amazing thing called the body of Christ. And turning up isn't good enough. Stop dating the church. As we get involved in church, we put ourselves in the best position possible for God to do his work in us. When we say, "I'm ready, God. I'm sorry for being so distracted by life that you're just this add-on. I'm sorry that I just turn up to church. I'm sorry that my involvement has just been so minimal. God, please would you help me rework my life, recenter my life so that you are the most important thing and that everything else wraps itself around you, God." When we get involved in what God wants us to be doing for each other, with each other, and for our communities, then we're in the best place possible for God to work in and through us. It's not good enough just to turn up. I guess the challenge, though, for us as a church, is to make sure that we are giving opportunities for each of us to step forward and say, "You know what? I realize that it isn't good enough just to turn up. How can I get involved?" If you're ready for that, you need to go back home and click that link that Paul has sent out of doing a spiritual gifts inventory or something. If you're ready to just get on your knees and say, "God, how is it that you want me to live my life? Because I am fed up with just turning up. I'm fed up with the humdrum of life, of you being smoked out of my life. I want to put you first, God. I want to invite you to join me on this journey of putting God first in everything, to being part of a lively, thriving, vibrant church that has God at the center and is busy bringing people to know more and more of Jesus." If you are someone who is ready to say, "I don't want to just turn up anymore," then I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to help you, and I'm inviting you to join me on this journey of faith. It won't be easy, because church isn't easy. It won't be easy because church is full of people. It won't be easy because church is full of imperfect people. And there's always problems and tensions. But turning up isn't an option. It's not enough. God is inviting us to more. When we stop dating the church, we don't add more to our to-do list week in, week out. But we start to live the life God intends to bless. And we experience the fruits of a truly abundant life with Jesus. Stop dating the church and dream about what God is calling you to do. Because the only thing that we can take to heaven is people. So why do we concentrate on everything else?